Are you looking for answers to the unknown? Welcome to Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix and step into the magical presence of the metaphysical realm. Lisa will share the wisdom and musings from her own experiences, have intriguing conversations with other mediums and healers, in addition to exploring a wide array of topics and teachings on intuitive and mediumship development. Lisa will be taking your calls and inviting your friends and loved ones in the spirit world to share their stories with us. Raise your awareness as you are reunited on the level of love, and let's go live with medium Lisa Phoenix.
Hello, everybody. Happy Sunday. It's a wonderful day in Southern California. Welcome to the Live with Lisa Phoenix radio show. I'm Lisa Phoenix, your host, a medium and energy intuitive. My show is all about healing, mediumship, and energy management. And my special guest this morning is Jim Curtin, spiritual director and archetypal counselor. We're going to talk about a variety of topics this morning. If you want to share some of your own challenges or ask questions about your own specific journey, please go to my Facebook page, Lisa Phoenix Live, and post your questions, and we will do our best to address them while we're on the air. If you want further information about the Live with Lisa Phoenix radio show, please visit my page on the Om Times radio site at Om Times Lisa-Phoenix. And you can also visit my website at lisaphoenix.net. or email me directly at info@lisaphoenix.net. And again, I'd love it if you would go to my website and sign up for my Intuitives Insights newsletter, which will also add you to my mailing list. And please like me on Facebook. Now, let me share with you all a little about my fabulous guest, Jim Curtin. Jim is a motivational speaker, spiritual director, retreat leader, and archetypal counselor. He has taught extensively with New York Times bestselling author Carolyn Mace and has been a faculty member of the Carolyn Mace Educational Institute since its inception in 2003. He has taught at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, the London Center for Spirituality, the Crossings in Austin, Texas, and the Learning Annexes in New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego. He has lectured and led workshops throughout the United States, in Canada, Great Britain, the Netherlands, and Indonesia. He has led spiritual retreats and workshops for the Young Adult Ministry of the Catholic Archdiocese of Los Angeles, the Metropolitan Community Church of Los Angeles, and the California Men's Gathering. In his prior career as a talent manager, Jim advised such prominent actors as John Malkovich, John Travolta, Patrick Swayze, Gina Davis, William Dafoe, Andy Garcia, Mary Lou Henner, Katherine Helmond, Diana Canova, Kevin Kilner, Kelly Overby, and Melanie Griffith. And I would encourage you all to pay a visit to his website at www.jimcurtin.com. That's JIMCURTAN.com. And then you can also reach Jim on Facebook at Jim Curtin Archetypes. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Lisa. It's wonderful to talk to you. We haven't seen each other since last night.
I know. How are you doing this morning?
I'm awake and showered and ready to go.
Okay. Oh, glad to hear it. Hey, I wanted to start our conversation today with a quote from your website, and that is, "Joy is the spiritual practice of embracing life on life's terms. A healthy spirit takes play seriously, and it's playful in the presence of the serious." So, starting off, I'd like to for you to explain to everybody a little bit about spiritual direction and spiritual practice.
Okay. Spiritual direction is working with a guide. I'm not a director. I don't tell people where to go. I like spiritual friend or soul friend even better as a description, and those are used in describing spiritual directors. And what a spiritual director does is accompany people in the discernment process of where they're being called, what their intuitive voices or guidance are suggesting. Is it authentic? Does it move them? And the standard that I use is this: does each of our choices, and I go back to my Jesuit education, St. Ignatius of Loyola said, I'll cut it to the quick, every choice leads us toward or away from God. And a more Jungian archetypal way of saying it, a Jungian teacher I studied with said that every choice moves us toward integration, authenticity, and liberation, or toward fragmentation, alienation, and bondage. And over the course of our lives, the direction can become habitual. So when we look at choices, are these choices moving us to wholeness? Are they moving us to integration? Or are they fragmenting us? Are the choices we make empowering us or putting us into bondage, to habits or addictions or fears? And so we work with people on, I work with people on where's the movement in their spirit? Where are they feeling called? And that's a big difference. It's not about what people's ambitions are so much as it is about where their soul is urging them, pushing them, calling them. And that can be tricky for people to trust it without a witness. So a lot of what I do is
bear witness, huh?
Bear witness to people, yeah.
Gotcha. Now, speaking on that level, let's pull in, the archetypal counseling, because it seems as though the two of those go hand in hand, in a sense.
Yeah, very much so. The intro to your program talked about healing.
Right.
And what I've looked at, and I'm more and more aware of this, I've spent time in Juarez, Mexico. I've spent time, a little bit of time in Palestine, and I've spent time in India. And I've seen what the suffering of poverty is, the physical suffering of illness or poverty. And that's one kind of suffering. But I would say apart from the, illness, disease, apart from that, a lot of the suffering has to do with how we see our situation. That's why that my quote, embracing life on life's terms.
Right.
Our perception causes enormous suffering. And so if people are stuck, I work with them to see if maybe if they looked at it from a slightly different angle, just, move a little bit to the left, so to speak. Open the window wider. If you're looking through a keyhole, let's see what it looks like to open the door and look through the door.
Gotcha.
And see if it can broaden your perception of things, because so much suffering is caused by perception, and so much fear. And we're being bombarded with fear right now, and the perception of fear. That we're being given wholesale fear lenses to look through.
Gotcha.
And it's hard to be joyful and fearful simultaneously.
Right. And it is true that both joy, and people do use other words for joy, but both joy and gratitude do play a big part in our overall transformation, don't you think?
I do. And that's an interesting thing too, is you can't feel entitled and grateful simultaneously. And when we live in a culture that's entitled, it's hard to feel gratitude because people think, well, I'm entitled to this. I deserve this. Well, you can't really express gratitude for something that you think you've got coming to you.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Okay. Where's my Mercedes,
Oh, here it is. I'm thankful.
Exactly.
Now, can you share with us a little bit more about the whole archetypal study? Because I think there's some people who might not be aware of exactly what
that
is.
Sure. My good friend Carolyn Mace, who you mentioned earlier, talks to people about the symbolic perception, the language of symbols, symbolic language. Archetypes are symbolic language. So that I'll use the most obvious ones. If I said to you somebody is a real Earth Mother, you'd have a pretty good idea what I was talking about, even if you'd never heard of
an archetype. Yeah.
Same if I said to you that somebody's a real knight in shining armor.
Yes.
Or if I said somebody's a vampire. There aren't literal vampires, at least I've never come across literal ones, but I've sure come across energy vampires. When somebody steps in a room, they take all the energy out of the room. They just suck it dry. And so you can say somebody's a vampire and people know what you're talking about.
Yes.
I became aware of this before I even knew the word archetypes from all my years working in film. Because I found that major film stars played the same archetypes. For example, Kevin Costner always played a knight in service to a king. He was not successful. He tried to be a king. Now, I don't mean knight literally, although he was literally a knight in Robin Hood. You know, he was.
Yes.
But he turned the kingdom back over to Richard the Lionhearted. Likewise, in Dances with Wolves, he's a knight in service of the chief. In JFK, he's a knight trying to figure out who killed his king. In The Bodyguard, he's a knight taking care of a damsel in distress. And in Tin Cup and Field of Dreams, he's looking for the Holy Grail.
Yes.
So he's consistently that. And then it's very funny. After he had a very explosive publicized divorce in the Scandal Mags, his image as a knight got tarnished. So now the movies that he does that he's wonderful in, he's sort of a rogue knight. You know, who's fallen off his horse a few times, but still has, is still going for it. I wish I could think of the.
That's
the
okay. Hold that thought.
The movie he just did where he plays a track coach and he's lost every job he's had.
Right.
And he has a track coach in the middle of nowhere.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. We're taking a commercial break. You're listening live to Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Jim Curtin. Right back. Stay tuned.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
If you've ever said, I do want it all. I do want happiness. I do want love. And I do desire the happily ever after fairy tale life, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, for my internationally acclaimed show, Bridal Talk Radio, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, where I'll bring you the top experts in the fields of communication, money, relationships, finance, pleasure, play, travel, sexuality, parenting, real estate, adventure, comfort, care, passion, and love.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Jim Curtin. Jim, are you talking about the movie that Kevin Costner was in called McFarlane or something
like that?
That's it.
I had time to look it up on the break. Yeah, McFarlane, USA.
Gotcha.
And what he does is he trains other people to be knights. He's sort of a battered knight who makes knights out of people who don't think they have that potential.
Gotcha. So his role has kind of changed.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't get his armor. His armor is battered and, you know.
And tarnished.
Any knight's armor is going to have dents in it after a while because, you know, we think of a knight in armor as an idealized archetype, sort of like the damsel. But, you know, they have to be real, too. And when you look at, I always say, you know, the knight looks great in shining armor. But what about when he takes off the armor and he's bow-legged, you know? Then you discover he's not quite your ideal. So, and that's when the real work starts.
Exactly. Now, you had mentioned earlier in our conversation about all the fear that is going on right now. And I wanted to know if you could maybe tie in some archetypal stuff with all that is happening.
Sure. I as a lead into that, I want to mention, and we'll talk more about it later. I have a course that we can talk about later called Embracing the Grace of Change.
Okay. And yes.
What's happening right now that's causing so much fear is uncontrollable change. We're going through major changes, and people are terrified because they didn't know, you know, just right now in the United States, the American myth, which is a powerful one, and we can talk about that too. Mm-hmm. Well, who we are as a country is changing. Our power in the world is changing. All of that, and that's terrifying because that was not in Once Upon a Time There Was a Country Called the United States. Mm-hmm. This is a chapter. It's not a bad chapter. It's just change. So when that happens, there are people that will come onto the scene that say, I can control this. I can fix it. I have easy solutions to all of your fear. Just put it in my hands and I will fix that. Well, that's very simplistic. It can be reassuring when people are frightened. But the challenge, and this is where being a spiritual director comes in, how do you embrace this change? How do you manage when, I deal with a lot of older people, and they thought their lives were going to be in two acts. That's the old story. Well, now people are having a third act, and nobody's told them how to live that third act.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we're living longer. That's what embracing the grace of change is about. But people are having third acts. People have assumed my life is going to be like my family's. The old American paradigm is I'm going to leave my children better off than I am. Mm-hmm. That's the image, but that was a dream that only a few people achieved, but it was immortalized on all of these movies and TV shows. But we're living in a more challenging place right now. I love the image of surfing the net because it's like we can surf chaos, but we can't control it. And I like surfing because if you're on a surfboard, you can't say to the ocean, drop me off at Laguna. You just have to stay in balance and stay on the board as long as you can. But you're repeatedly going to get wet.
Yes.
And then you get back up on the board. And the fantasy is that board will take us in, land us right on the beach, and Gidget will be there and we'll all have a luau. Well, that doesn't work anymore, you know.
Right.
So this is fearful to people because people want things the way they were, the way the stories and myths say they're supposed to be. And when they're not, you have somebody like, it's really interesting to watch two of the major candidates. I mean, Donald Trump says, I will be your king. And I will fix it almost by fiat. My first day in office, I'll bam, 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 as if there's not a process to go through. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, is a teacher, and she's a student, and she does her homework. I'll bet Hillary Clinton made straight A's in school. She does all the research. She does all the study, and she lays it all out. But she's a teacher in a country where a lot of people don't want to go to school.
Yes.
They really don't. I remember, I guess I can say it's been many years, I was speaking with a client of mine because I was having trouble with another client. And I said, I don't know what the problem is. And she said, you're a teacher. And he dropped out of school when he was 16. And I swear, that explains a lot, because I'm trying to empower and educate and he doesn't want to know anything.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and we see that right now. So you have people trying to educate. I think Barack Obama's like that a great deal. He was a teacher. Mm-hmm. He's a scholar. And that's hard when you're talking to a country where a lot of people don't have GEDs.
Right. And I think another important word that you brought up through all this is uncontrollable change.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So many people are so used to being able to step in and control things.
Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting when we see the role in the world. If we look at the Middle East, most of the leaders there, the Saudis, Saddam Hussein, before he was overthrown, these people had absolute control over everything. And when change starts, they just crush the change and they stay in control. So that's one option which looks terrifying to us. But
right.
We want somebody who is in benevolent control. You know, that a lot of people do, because they're fearful. When we're afraid, we also get resentful. And one of the things...
Do we know why that is, Jim?
Yeah, because we're entitled.
Gotcha.
We look at
but
this.
But why is it when we fear?
Well, look at this. We sing... Just the other night, they had a thing on PBS about the 50th anniversary of the Arts and Humanities Act that Lyndon B. Johnson started.
Gotcha.
And the first entertainer was a singer-guitarist named Keb Moe. And he sang, "Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain." And we can all sing that wonderfully, you know, and that's sort of a beautiful image that when our forefathers came in, they were so grateful for those amber waves of grain. They were grateful for the spacious skies. That's a song of gratitude. And we sing it, but we don't hear it anymore.
That is true.
It's like, okay, amber waves of grain. He has more grain than I do. You know,
right.
And so there's this fear, there's this scarcity. And when, my bias will probably show, but we're a nation of immigrants. And when we start saying we have to keep everybody out, what we're saying is there's not enough to go around.
Gotcha.
So it's scarcity. It's not. And what if they get more? What if they come here and are more successful than I am? What if they, you know, it's you're dealing with a lot of scarcity and fear and this entitlement that, you know, these guys up in Oregon in the bird sanctuary who are all getting welfare from the government and want to take their government back. It makes no sense. So we have chaos here.
Right. And that's why people start to resent each other. Everybody uh-huh. who does anything else, it's like everybody yeah. resents.
But, gotcha. But this actually isn't anything new. I'm working on the next class I'm going to the next.
Yeah. Now let's go there right now. I want to talk a little bit about the embracing the change, you know,
embracing the grace of change.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then also your next class. So let's, because I'd like to give people an opportunity to discover how they can learn more about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, there was a very popular movie a few years ago, unexpectedly popular, called The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. It got okay reviews. It didn't get rave reviews. It was a bunch of old people and it was so successful. They made a sequel that was successful with all these people. You know, what happens is in each case, the people leave England because England isn't the way it was. And they had their life once upon a time there was, and they all thought they knew what the ending was. And when Judi Dench's husband dies, she's this damsel. She's lived in an ivory tower, and she discovers her prince left her with no money. Mm. And Maggie Smith, who's this, you know, British to the bones, finds out that this country that she's idealized and the family that she took care of and idealized, they don't care about her. And the civil servant and his wife, all of their money was lost in a Ponzi scheme. So they all end up having to start a new chapter going to India because they can't afford to live in their home country anymore. And, you know, it's almost like the Dust Bowl in a sense, but I mean, it's a comedy. But what do you do when you're 70 years old and you have to start life over?
Right.
Or 30. I mean, I know several people who lost everything in the mortgage crisis.
And yes.
These were not young people. And so they have to start life over. And how do you find the grace to embrace change? Where do you find God in that? Where do you find grace? Where do you find guidance? Where do you find vitality? How do you move toward that? I was diagnosed with cancer, I can't believe it, 18 years ago. And my doctor said to me, I'll let you know that my experience of cancer, you are being invited to change or die. And a lot of people are more afraid of change than death. And I said, well, I'll go with change.
Right.
And thank God I had the grace to say that in the moment. And then I was told that a little while later by another doctor, it's change or die. And so here are all these seniors that's their thing. They can change or die. And our country's in that exact same place. We have to change or we have to die. We have to embrace the grace of change. If we resist that grace, for example, with climate change, if we resist the grace to make that change, we'll die.
Right. Hang on to that thought again. We'll be right back. You're listening to Live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, spiritual director and archetypal counselor, Jim Curtin. We'll be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Live with medium Lisa Phoenix. Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. You're live with Lisa Phoenix and my guest, special guest, Jim Curtin. Jim, I wanted to comment on your last sentence before we went to commercial break when you were talking about, people, it's either change or die. And just as a medium, I'm obviously, I'm very aware of not only people who pass in like intimate circles, but also kind of like on a global universal level. And it's just been amazing the amount of people that have been kind of departing the earth in recent. And I do feel that there is a connection to this whole change and chaos thing that's going out as the our world is evolving right now.
I think so too. I see that a lot, that people are, what you probably know this too, is at the end, how many people make it into December or the first week of the new year and then leave.
Right.
It's amazing how many people we read about in the obituaries this time of year.
Yes.
Because, can I handle another year? And I don't mean suicides. I just mean energetically.
Exactly. Because you were talking about cancer and that the doctors were saying it's a choice of either change or die.
Right. And I did, when I said I'll go with change, I really had no idea
what that meant, right?
What was in store for me, but it's been extraordinary. Nothing in my life is the same. Nothing. I mean, I have a whole different vocation. I've traveled places I never dreamt of. I've met healers from all over the world and modalities that I had no idea existed that I never would have explored if I didn't get that diagnosis.
Gotcha. Now, go ahead.
No, that's it.
Oh, I was going to say, let's go back, share a little bit about the class, embracing the grace of change, as well as the new class that
I'd like to get onto the new one.
Go for it.
And people can go on my website, and there's an interview on the homepage with this wonderful man who interviewed me. I taught a class in Minnesota for the Minnesota Jung Institute. I taught it in Minneapolis. And Shane Nygaard, who's an officer in the Jung Association, invited me to do it. And I said, what I'd really like to do is talk about archetypal America. Because, among other things, I love old movies. And I've noticed something, that what's going on here in the United States is not new. And I think of it is a strain. It is a tension that's been here at least since the Civil War and probably before. A lot of movies came out at the end of the Depression, just before we went into World War II. And it's amazing how timely they are today. And three in particular that I love. One is by Frank Capra called You Can't Take It With You. Another is a film by George Cukor with Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn called Holiday. But my favorite is a film by John Ford, who many people say is the greatest American filmmaker of all time. And this is called Stagecoach. Mm-hmm. And it made a star out of John Wayne. And this is the beginning of his becoming the archetype of the American male, the dominant archetype of the American male. What's interesting about that movie, and it's going to be on Turner Classics, I know it's on next week. I just can't find the date right now.
Okay.
If you get Turner Classic Movies, look it up and watch it. It's 80 minutes long. And what you've got there on this Stagecoach, it's the same kind of film as the Poseidon Adventure, or it's where you have people from all different backgrounds caught in a crisis together. And we see that over and over, Airplane, whether they're comic ones or real. We see that over and over. And this one, it's interesting to look at it. The movie was made in 1939, which was 76 years ago, and the movie takes place almost exactly that length of time since the end of the Civil War. You could almost divide it in half. And so that the Civil War was very fresh to them, and we're reliving that now. To give you an idea, in the stagecoach, they have thrown together in the stagecoach a doctor who worked for the Union, mm-hmm. a gambler who worked for the Confederacy, a pregnant woman whose father was an officer in the Confederacy who's married to a cavalry officer now. You have an addict. You have a prostitute with the real heart of gold. You have the hero is an outlaw. And the main establishment of society, the banker, is a crook.
Yeah.
And the stuff that the banker spouts sounds exactly like how Wall Street sounds today, and this was done in 1939. And what you have in that combustible thing, in this small stagecoach, you have all the tension between the North and South. And as I was showing this movie, preparing it, it was right around the time they finally took the Confederate flag down in North Carolina, 150 years after the end of the war. But those stretches, those strains between this, which we see now, I mean, the North and South are still at war with each other.
Yes.
They've changed parties. When I was a kid, it was the Democrats in the South and the Republicans in the North, and they've just switched around. But it is, and you have, there are people in there that, the sheriff has a very strong libertarian streak, which as you get farther west, we have. It also is all about how we constantly believe we have new beginnings. An interesting thing happened, though, about the image of the stagecoach where everybody is caught. You know, they depend, all of them, on each other to survive this. They're being attacked by hostile Indians. And there, this one woman asked me a question, which in the instant she asked it, I thought, where did this come from? This was at the same time there was this heartbreaking image of a 4-year-old child who washed up dead on the shore of Greece, a Syrian kid, little mm-hmm. baby. And she said to me, what does this, how is this movie relevant to that? I don't know. You know, my first thought is, well, that's that. I don't know what planet you brought this from.
Right.
But what I said to her, it just came to me. I said, on the stagecoach, when the pregnant woman gives birth halfway through the movie, and not only are all these people on the stagecoach trying to get to safety, she's there with her baby trying to get to safety. Mm-hmm. And I said, symbolically, that child is the responsibility of everybody on the stagecoach. And now the planet is the stagecoach, and that drowned child on the beach in Greece is everybody's child. It's everybody's responsibility, because with media and the way the world has gotten smaller because of media, we can't ignore our responsibility. And what happens in that movie, all but one character is completely transformed by the birth of that child. You know, it brings them together. New life brings them together. And the preciousness of new life brings them together. And of course, the only one who doesn't give a damn is the crooked banker. That's what's
right.
So funny. But when you watch this and you can read this interview, this is what my next
class
is down. Yes, it's going to be Archetypes of America. And I may bring in more than one movie into it, because the tension between the North and the South and the East and the West and populists and capitalists and liberals and conservatives, this is in the DNA of our country. And it's that tension between these archetypal forces, you know, conservatives and liberals. It's the tension when it's used creatively that makes our country great. It can only be used creatively when we can manage the fear and the disrespect and the anger that we have toward the people we disagree with.
Yes.
And right now we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And that's what's fascinating about this movie. All of them have different points of view, but new life and the hope of new life brings them all together. And, you know, there's a hope, dreams, the dreams that we can accomplish if, you know, if I heard this thing on the radio just before you called me, they were talking about Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci, who were competitors and hated each other. They really despised each other. And then they had to work together on something, and it found out that having been competitors for so long, they really worked well as a team. So if we can take the different points of view, all these archetypal different points of view, and each of the people in Stagecoach, like each of the political things that's going on now, each self-interest, each political interest represents an archetype. There are people who will represent the parent and who become advocates for children. There are people who are the advocates for the moneyed interests. They will always be there, the Midases and Misers. They will always be there. The idealists will always be there. Outlaws will always be here. Visionaries will always be here. Visionaries terrify conservatives. I don't mean political conservatives.
Right, just conservatives.
Anybody who sees and imagines something new scares people who are committed to the status quo. It's new. Yeah, I read maybe about a year and a half ago that when they first put elevators into buildings, you know, that went up 6 or 7 floors, people fainted on them. And they thought they were dangerous. Well, it wasn't. They weren't dangerous. It was they just hadn't experienced it. Just like going into space for us, elevators were terrifying for people, and they passed out.
Yes.
You know? And it's not because of the elevator. It's because of the shock of the new.
Gotcha. Well,
is that the music?
That's the music. We're getting ready for another break.
Okay.
You're live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Jim Curtin, and we will be right back. Stay tuned.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Come. Heal yourself. What is healing? Healing is nothing but connecting with your all-knowing higher self that already has solutions to all your problems and is always there to guide you. Through this show, we help you to connect with that you are and tap into that innate potential you have to transform your life and fly high. Please join me, your host Monica Goyal, every Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific. Namaste.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Jim. And Jim, I wanted to, just so we can put this out there, because I want everybody to know, the courses that you've talked about, and I know there's another one or two on there, they're all available to the public via audio, their audio workshops, correct?
They are.
Can you share a little bit about that with everyone?
They're all available. The first one I did is about Ratatouille, and it's the hero's journey. And that one comes with a work. No, that's it comes with a small. They all come with some workbook information you can download. And Ratatouille is about the hero's journey.
I love the hero's journey.
Well, I know you do, but I use movies
right
as a way when people ask me what I really do. And this may sound arrogant, but oh well, I'm old, is that I teach people how to see. I don't teach them what to see. My Jesuit education, my Jesuit teachers taught me how to think. They never told me what to think.
Right.
But to teach people to see, to open their eyes, to see things fresh. Well, I use movies, and Ratatouille is a wonderful example of the hero's journey, and there's a workbook that comes with it. The second class is called, I think it's just called The Way. Let me see.
Yes, it is. The Way.
It's The Way.
A journey of healing and self-acceptance.
Yes. And I used the movie that Emilio Estevez directed, starring his father, Martin Sheen.
El Camino de
Santiago right.
Stella.
El Camino de Santiago de... No, I can't. Okay. Anyway. It's a famous pilgrimage that people make along the coast of France into Spain down to a church dedicated to Saint James, and it's a what I because of the way I see things, I can't help it. I realized when I was watching it that this is the Wizard of Oz told spiritually, and that Martin Sheen's character is Dorothy, and there's a Dutch character who's the Cowardly Lion. There's a Canadian woman who is the Tin Man, and there's an Irish writer who's the Scarecrow. In fact, I knew for sure that I wasn't making this up when they discover him in a field of straw.
And, right.
And he has all these thoughts, but they none of them connect. But what they're each about is that the Scarecrow is about our mind, how it never shuts up. The Tin Man is about our heart. And the Lion is about... Are we paralyzed or do we act? And then Dorothy, like Martin Sheen, has to listen to all of this, you know, take all of this in and make choices based on all the incoming. And he's a very fragmented man because his heart and his mind and action, all of those have kind of shut down. And he's sort of on automatic when the movie starts. I also realized that, and this is what's so much fun about archetypes, if you look at the four characters in The Wizard of Oz, they're the same as the four characters in Sex and the City.
Yeah.
That carries Dorothy. Miranda's the Scarecrow. She's always in her head. Charlotte's always in her heart. And Miranda says, let's just do it. It's the same four. You can find the same four again. I told Carolyn Mace that the four women in Sex and the City were a modern interpretation of Louisa May Alcott's Little Women, and she said, you're insane. I said, check it out. And she said, oh, my God. You know, so you can see this in The Three Musketeers, and you can see it in the 40-year-old version. The hero is on a journey, on a pilgrimage, and these three, you know, people who advise you on matters of the heart, matters of the head, and matters of action, they're part of the whole of us. So that's what that one's about. And then
Embracing the Grace of Change.
Right. We already talked about that. We talked about Ratatouille. And then I have one called, I think it's called Speaking Archetypes Fluently. Is that what it's called?
Speaking Archetypes Fluently. The Archetypal Matrix.
Yeah, this is a class that I taught for a healing center in Massachusetts, a wonderful place called Solstice Healing Center. And this is how the archetypes, how they relate to each other and how they connect. Carolyn's model, which is brilliant, is, and this is about a new way of seeing also, in Carolyn Mace's model, we have 12 archetypes in our natal that we come in with. Now, what's interesting about those, for me is in our culture, the dominant narratives for the last two or three decades at least have been the wounded child and the victim. But if you can say instead of once upon a time there was a wounded child, once upon a time there was a little rebel, you'll have a whole different story. Or once upon a time there was a little visionary or a little healer, and you can tell the story of your life, you find new narratives. And that's what I do in my work as an archetypal counselor, is if we're stuck in one story, that story gets boring. But we have multiple stories to tell from multiple points of view. We have a little time.
Yes.
When I was diagnosed with cancer, everybody says, you can beat this. You know, the big C, like be a warrior like John Wayne. Well, I don't have that energy. I can invite it in and it'll maybe stay for a long weekend, but I don't live with it.
Right.
And I mean, I tried all of these macrobiotic diets, all this stuff, I thought, well, if this is what life's going to be like, I'm not sure I want to live. I miss good food. I miss fun. And so, but at the same time, before I knew Carolyn, before I knew what archetypes really had thought about it, as soon as I was diagnosed, I thought there has to be a gift in this. Where's the blessing in this? Because part of me feels very strongly that everything is a gift. I call that my lover philanthropist archetype. It's a love of, so I thought, okay, if either there's a gift available in this, there's grace here, or like embracing the grace of change, there's grace in here, or else everything I believe is bull. The second thing I thought is, well, I can't be a warrior, but I'm willing to go to cancer school, and I'm willing for cancer to be my teacher. Well, I have a very strong teacher archetype. You can tell if you've been listening to this show.
Yes.
And the third one, though, I just finished reading this novel called In the City of Shy Hunters. It's an obscure little novel, but in it, these two young men are talking to this old Indian shaman. And he says, do you know why God created human beings? And they said, no. He says, because he loves a good story. And I thought instantly, well, if I can keep my story interesting, God will let me live. I really did think that. And I have a very strong storyteller archetype. So without my knowing what my survival archetypes were, my storyteller, my teacher, and my philanthropist all came in and said, we've got this. And the warrior, after about 6 weeks, said, yeah, they got it. I can't help you. So when I work with people, I help them to discover where the power is to support them, and that those energies, it's like having a board of directors. It's having those 12 archetypes are like knights of the round table, that they're there to serve us in the quest of the fullest, most passionate, grateful, joyful life we can have. That's what they're there for. But if we only listen to one or two, the ones that make us feel powerless,
right,
then the story's not very interesting. And our life is very interesting.
Go ahead. Yeah, and it is interesting because within the study of archetypes, there is an empowering side to the archetype, and then there's somewhat of a disempowering side to that same archetype.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. I mean, my storyteller is, you've been in my home, you've seen all the images of Pinocchio that I have.
Yes.
Well, Pinocchio is a storyteller who exaggerates. You know, might call it a liar, or you can say he mythologizes. You know, I can make it nice. He mythologizes his life.
Right.
And I talk about my teacher archetype, and I say when I go out socially, I have to either lock the teacher in a closet or get it a sitter, because nobody wants to spend the evening with somebody who's teaching them all the time. And my teacher and my addict get together, and whoa. So – I've discovered romantically is that if you're a teacher, everybody graduates, flunks, drops out, or changes schools. So you don't want the teacher on lead when you're going out on a date. You say you stay home and you read a good book.
And, right.
And you don't need to tell people everything you know on the first date. Or correct them on what they don't know, and you don't grade them. Oh, you get a B+. You only missed two of the questions. That's deadly to a social life, but it's great for a teacher. So that's the shadow of the teacher for me, and the shadow of the storyteller. And the shadow of the philanthropist is that you can be overgenerous and intimidate people, or you might try to think you can earn their love by giving them gifts. Right. I've learned from that, you know? So so all of these archetypes are operative, and we all have different patterns, different arrangements of them, so that the genius of Carolyn's model is it's one model, but it's infinitely interesting because no two people have the same makeup. And when you discover this and work with it, it's just rich. And it's wonderful in my work as a spiritual director.
Yes.
Because I can hear, because I've gotten to where I can hear archetypes speaking. The first time I speak with a client, I just ask them to start telling, just fill me in, tell me what's important, and I'll ask a few questions. And I begin to hear those archetypal voices say, oh, great, somebody here might recognize this. Let's see.
Jim.
And yes.
I am sorry. I have to step in because, see, the music is coming on, and we're done.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you so much for being on the show this morning, and everybody listening. Thanks for listening, and please go to Jim's website at jimcurtin.com and download some of these audio courses. It's really fascinating and wonderful. Thank you so much, Jim.
My pleasure.
Live with Lisa Phoenix is on every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, just 10 a.m. Pacific time. So please tune back in with us next week. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.